Psalm 119. This morning I draw your attention to the end of the verse 2. And that seek him with the whole heart. Seek him with the whole heart. Literally it is with all the heart. Or with the whole heart, seek him. Now the verb comes at the end in the Hebrew. And the whole heart is before it. The emphasis is on that. The whole heart. That's what the Lord wants. And so the subject this morning, our title is Wanted, Wholehearted Seekers. Wholehearted Believers. That's what the Lord wants. He wants Calebs who followed him wholly. That is, with the whole heart. The first point is this. Wholeheartedness is a required principle. God requires it. And consequently, everywhere in Scripture, we meet the exhortation to it and the teaching concerning it. Doesn't the Lord say, my son, give me thine heart. Thine heart, and the idea is your whole heart, your one heart, your undivided heart. Give me thine heart. David, who we take as having penned this psalm, David would be familiar with the teaching of the Bible concerning wholeheartedness. He would be familiar, for example, with the teaching of Samuel the prophet. This was an emphasis in Samuel the prophet's ministry, because we read of him exhorting the people on an occasion, fear not, you've done wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your heart. Later on he says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, with all your heart. And that was the ministry of the prophet Samuel. And all the prophets were the same. They knew this is what God required. Wholeheartedness. You see, half-heartedness is an offense to God. Half-heartedness is no heart at all. I mean, if you said to your spouse, I love you with half my heart, that wouldn't go down too well. That wouldn't be acceptable to them, and rightly so. We should love our spouse with all our heart. And God won't accept anything less either. We are to love him with all our heart, with the whole heart. Only wholehearted love is love. Half-hearted love is not love at all. Remember how the Lord Jesus said to the church in the book of the Revelation, I know thy works. You see, the Lord saw the heart. I know thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou wert one or the other. I would thou wert cold or hot. You see, this lukewarmness seems to be a greater offense to God than coldness. It's not acceptable. He wants a hot heart, a whole heart. And so to be less than wholehearted is to have love for things in opposition to God, and instead of God, and in the place of God. Remember how the Lord said, thou hast left thy first love. He wants to be the first love, and so we should. And the Lord Jesus said that in the last days, the love of many would wax cold. People would become half-hearted. And we're in those days. Boys and girls and members of the congregation here and all who are gathered in, know this morning that the Lord wants you to love him and to serve him wholeheartedly. And David, that's what he is reminding us of here in the text, isn't he? Before he brings us into the intimacy with God and the prayer that continues from verse 4 onwards, he hears this preaching in the porch. And there is this reminder. Before you come into this house, before you come into this psalm, to come into this psalm in the right way, you have to come in as a whole-hearted seeker. Do you seek God with all your heart? Don't just be saying your prayers. You know, that's what David's really telling us here, because most of this psalm is praying, talking to the Lord. Don't be that a kind of a seeker saying these prayers half-heartedly. Blessed are they that seek him with the whole heart. You're only going to be blessed if you have the whole heart for God. If you have the whole heart in saying these prayers. Remember how the prophet Jeremiah put it, speaking the word of God, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, with the whole heart. So it's a required principle in the Bible. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, God said to Moses concerning his people. That there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always. But my people would not listen to me. They would not hearken to me. They would have none of me. And so God says, I give them up to their heart's lusts. You see, there were other things in their hearts. They didn't have a whole heart for him. They had things in their heart, place in their heart for other things, their lusts or other desires. And the Lord says, I give them up to those things. I found they didn't have a whole heart for me. I found they didn't love me. And I give them up to the other things that were in their hearts. So in very many ways, God is always reminding us, this is a required principle. This is what the Lord desires of his people, what he expects from his people. Remember, he said concerning Ephraim, Ephraim is a cake not turned. He's only half baked. There's only one side that is right. And the Lord wants the whole cake to be baked. He wants the whole heart to be right for him. There is this constant emphasis on singularity of heart, this unitedness of heart, this whole heart, all the heart for God. And right at the porch, we're reminded of that. So important. But not only is it a required principle, wholeheartedness is also to be a ruling principle. That is the primary principle, the foundational principle of all principles of the Christian life. It's foundational, it's ruling, it's prominent, it's first, it's central. The whole heart is a vital matter, not just required. You know, a whole list of requirements, and the whole heart is just kind of one in the list. It's not that. It's primary. It's first. It's the main thing. And that's why it's here right at the door. It's to be the regulating principle. At every prayer you come to pray in this house, that you're seeking him with the whole heart. Always a whole heart. When you pray, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You're saying it as one who means it. Whenever you pray, I've gone astray, seek out thy servant, Lord. You're praying it with all your heart, with your whole heart. This is to regulate every room that you're in. Every petition that you make. Everything that you say to God. It's to be with all the heart. And without this, all other requirements in the list, if we think about a list of requirements that God has for us, all other requirements can't be met. Because this is first. It's like a signpost here at the door then, isn't it? A billboard. The first thing God wants is wholehearted seekers. I remind you that in these verses, there is a sixfold description of the blessed people. And the emphasis on the other five is on the outward, on the external. Very much on one's walk. You'll see verse 1 there, for example. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And the verb walk occurs in verse 3 also.
they walk in his ways.
So in verse 1 and verse 3, there's an emphasis on the paths, on the ways, and on your feet walking. And the thing about that is that that's all visible. That's all seen. Your walk is seen. Your ways are seen. How you walk and conduct yourself is a very visible thing. And that's in verse 1 and verse 3, the visibility. But what do you have in the center? What do you have in the heart? What do you have in the middle? That you're doing this with your whole heart. That you're seeking him with the whole heart. Do you see how David centralizes it? He puts it in the very midst of all the blessings and the requirements. He puts it at the heart because it is at the heart. It's the very core of godliness. It's the very core of your walk with God. You can't walk with God. You can't be right in the ways. Your feet won't be going properly if the heart has gone wrong. If the heart is not right. If the heart is not wholly seeking God and for God. And so David carefully centralizes it. Because he's not just making it a thing in a list. He's saying it's at the heart. It's at the core. It's in the middle. And that's the most important thing. So I'm saying to you this morning, congregation, that the main thing that the Lord wants in us, with all our other failings, is a heart for him. A desire for him. A love for him. So the heart has to be right. And God wants heart religion, doesn't he? He doesn't want us to just be all show like the Pharisees. He wants us to be right in our hearts. So verses 1 and 3 is external, and verse 2 is internal. A heart keeping the testimonies of God and seeking him. That's internal. Blessed saints are not only blessed saints outwardly, they are, more importantly, inwardly. And the Lord Jesus in his ministry, he had the same emphasis. He says, out of the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. He's so often talking about the heart because it's the regulating thing in our life. Paul applied this principle with different words. Remember, he was writing to the Romans. He says, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Only outward. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. There is an outward aspect of being Jewish. But if that's all you have, you're not a true Jew. There's an inward part. You have to have the outward, but to be God's people, to belong to the Lord, there has to be an inward part as well. And so Paul goes on, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. So to be a true Jew, a true one belonging to the Lord, to be truly among the people of God, you have not to have merely the externals, but especially the internals. The circumcision of the heart, the baptism of the heart, the writing of the word on the heart in the spirit. So that's so important. Both are important. Don't get me wrong. Outward is essential too. A clean life, a godly walk, holy actions. But one is not the true and real and genuine blessed if he only has the outward. There has to be the sincerity, the true faith, the true repentance, the true seeking of God. Whenever we were studying the book of Leviticus, in chapter 11, you remember, we learned about the clean and the unclean. We learned how to distinguish between the two of them. And you remember that with the land mammals, there were two areas that had to be looked at in order to discover if they were truly clean. There was the outward, the feet, cloven-footed. Clean animals had to have the cloven feet. There also had to be the sign of the inward. They had to chew the cud as well. That designated them as clean. They had the stomach whereby they could regurgitate the food and chew the food again and digest the food. And that pictures the child of God. He has to have both. Yes, the clean walk, the clean ways, but also the internals. Something about his internals, where there's this feeding on the word, this cleanness inside, this love for the Lord, this sincerity. And that's what the psalmist here is saying. In the porch of this great house, if you're going to come in here into this house to profit, you have to come in, yes, with a clean life, as God gives you grace, but you are especially to come in with a whole heart, sincere heart for God. You see, this is all prayer, isn't it? From verse 4 onwards, it's all prayer. And what is prayer? Prayer seeking God. Every verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, right down to the end of the chapter, every verse is seeking God with words of prayer. But it has to be with the whole heart. That's to regulate. So it's a required principle, but it's a regulating principle. It's foundational. It's so important. You can't come in here without such a heart. You won't even want to come in, really. I mean, if you don't have a heart to seek God, you'll not even want to come. You'll stop at the porch. You'll see that sign, wanted, wholehearted seekers, and that'll be just enough to drive you out again. But those who have a heart for God and really want to know the Lord, it'll draw them on in. I want to be that. I want to know the Lord. I want to be blessed. And so if you come in, you come in as a participant, you come in as a seeker, and you have to come in as one earnest. And there's no benefit for your soul unless you do so, come in as an earnest seeker. So it's required, and it's regulating, foundational, primary. It's also, thirdly, a repeated principle. It's repeated often, this principle. Now, I don't mean just in scriptures. I've already hinted at scriptures that talk about wholehearted seeking of God. But what I'm saying is, in this psalm, David is always repeating it. Yes, he heard the preaching at the porch, and he constantly reminds himself about it throughout the psalm. This psalm is always speaking about the heart. You just look up the concordance, and you just find how many times the heart is referred to. It's quite a lot. David is always talking about his heart. And about the heart, he's always telling God about his heart. He's always asking things for his heart. He's always concerned that his heart is right. Remember in another psalm he put it, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." My heart. And that's the way it is here. He's heart conscious. He's regulating his heart. He's thinking about his heart. He's talking about his heart. David's religion is a heart religion. It's not just about going up to the temple, going through all the formalities, and that's you. Very much of Christian religion is like that, isn't it, in this world? All external, all formal. But is the heart in it? Is there a heart for the Lord? David's religion is heart religion. And this expression, whole heart, or all the heart, he uses it a number of times. I think about six times he uses the word whole or all heart. The first is here, whenever God alerts David to what he wants, wholehearted seeking. And then the other five occurrences of it, David telling the Lord about it. He's telling the Lord he's wholehearted. And so what I'm saying is, the principle is repeated time and time again. The whole heart through the Bible, but especially here in this psalm in David's prayer life. David repeats it. He repeats the principle because he's always thinking about this principle that he met at the door. He's always checking, always regulating his heart. And this expression, seeking him with all the heart, ought to come with repetition to us. We ought never to forget it. We have to remind ourselves. And maybe it's even a good way to pray, Lord, help me to seek you now with all my heart. Help me to put all my heart into it, Lord. As we come to study this psalm, as we enter into this room, into the bathroom, Lord, we should pray, Lord, help me to come in here with all my heart. Help me to come here into this room as a seeker and to pray these prayers with all my heart. You see, the psalms are not so much to be read and studied and all broken up and expounded. They're to be prayed. That's how you really get to know God. That's how you really come to know the Lord. It's in the praying of them. It's in the spirit of them. Not just the letter, but in the spirit, in the heart, as Paul the Apostle tells us. So this principle has always been repeated before God. And thus in verse 10, if I just point these out very quickly, with my whole heart have I sought thee. He's looked into his heart. He's thought about what he meant in verse 2. And he's able to tell the Lord in the bathroom, with my whole heart have I sought thee. And then in verse 34, in another room, he says, give me understanding, Lord, I'll keep thy law, and I'll observe it with my whole heart. I know that's what you want, Lord. I know that's what you told me about at the porch. And now in this room, deeper in the house, Lord, I want you to know that I want to keep it with all my heart. And then verse 58, another room. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. I wanted your grace, Lord. I wanted your loving kindness. I wanted to experience your mercy. And I want to experience it because I desire that with all my heart. With all my heart. You see how he's able to tell God about this? And then verse 69, in another room, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. And then verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. You can see how he's always bringing it in, always repeating it, never allowing himself to forget that he has to be a wholehearted seeker. And brethren and sisters, may the Lord make us wholehearted seekers of him. May he give us a whole heart, a big heart for the Lord, a big heart for God. And may he fill us with desires after him and after his word. And I have to ask you and ask myself, can we do this? Can we tell the Lord this? Can we come before the Lord and say, Lord, with all my heart, with my whole heart? Can we really do that? Or do we just rush through our prayers, and just rush through the Bible reading, even rush through coming to church? Can we not pause to say, Lord, help me to do it with all my heart, with my whole heart? That's what the Lord wants. And of course, while we ask ourselves this, and hopefully we can come up with the answer, yes, I will with all my heart, we must never forget either, brethren and sisters, that even our hearts can deceive us. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. So our hearts can deceive us. The counsels of our hearts are very deep and very complex, and there are so many desires and things going on in here. But I think we can generally tell if we're big into certain things or not. And a man can know if he's big into God or not, if he's big into the Bible or not, if he's big into prayer and seeking the Lord or not. A man can generally know that if he's big into these things. If he is, he has a whole heart. That's what the Lord wants. He wants you to be big into him, big into the things of God, to have a whole heart. And so may the Lord give us a big heart in the spiritual things of himself. That is not to say that there were not times when David felt that he fell short. There were times he fell short in this. There were times, no doubt, when he felt, my heart's not in this. There's something not right with my heart. There were times whenever David was there, but he was honest and he sought the Lord and he was concerned about his heart knowing that it deceives him at times. And so he would pray for his heart and about his heart, such things as verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes. That seems to say that there's something not sound, something unhealthy there. Lord, let my heart be healthy. Let my heart be sincere. He prayed for a sincere heart. He prayed for a whole heart because he obviously felt he maybe didn't have it. Brethren and sisters, are there times that we maybe don't feel sound in our heart? And we have to be honest with God. There's no point bristling it over and pretending we're wholehearted. We have to be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, let my heart be sound. Give me a clean heart, Lord. Do you remember he prayed that? Give me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. He didn't feel his heart was right. I mean, it was a year or so after Bathsheba and all of that passed in, and he never really tidied his heart up yet. Till the prophet came, and then he prayed about his heart. And then in verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Does he feel within him a disinclination at times? And so he has to pray, Lord, incline my heart unto thee, incline my heart unto your testimonies. Sometimes we have to pray that, people of God, too, don't we? Our heart gets out of sorts. And then another verse, verse 32. I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Here again, he wants to be a runner. He's been walking in God's ways, but he wants to run in God's ways. But he knows he can't do it unless his heart is right, unless he's a big heart for God. And so he says, Lord, make it big. Make my heart large. You see how he's always praying about it? Always repeating this. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. And then, listen to this. Unite my heart to fear thy name. He thinks his heart is fragmented. He thinks his heart is broken, that it has so many thoughts, so many desires. And he just wants it to be united. He just wants it to be one big heart for God. And he says, Lord, unite my heart to fear your name. You see how he's always bringing his heart in? How he's always repeating this principle that he met at the door? A required principle? A regulating principle? A repeated principle? But then lastly, it is also wholeheartedness is also a reasonable and a right principle. It's right and proper for a saint to be wholehearted. This is the proper response for Christians. Remember, I quoted Samuel there, how Samuel was always exhorting to wholeheartedness. He said on one occasion, fear the Lord, serve him in truth with all your heart. And then he adds these interesting words, for consider what great things he has done for you. That's a reason why you should be wholehearted for God. That's why it's right that Christians should be wholehearted for God. For he's done great things for you. He's done marvelous things for you. You should have a heart for him who has done so much for you. God is wholehearted for us. He's big-hearted for us. Even though we're a wayward people, even though we sin against him so much, and we neglect him and all the rest, he is big-hearted for us. He was wholehearted when he created us. He never did anything for us, but his whole heart was in it. When he made us, he was wholehearted. When he gave us life and our faculties and our body and our lungs and all the air to breathe, he was wholehearted when he gave us all of that, when he gave us those great things. And is it only right that he should expect us to have a great heart for him and be wholehearted in what we do for him? He was wholehearted whenever he redeemed his people in his son Jesus Christ. The Father was wholehearted when he sent his son into the world. He sent him into the world with all his heart. He sent him into the world with his large desire for sinners, for us, his people. The Father was wholehearted when he sent Christ. And the Son was wholehearted when he came into the world. He came skipping and leaping. I come to do thy will. I delight to do thy will. Thy law is within my heart. He's wholehearted when he comes to save us. He's wholehearted when he died on the cross and gave himself for us, he not only gave himself, he gave himself all. He gave himself with all his heart. And so it's only right, it's only reasonable that we should give our whole heart to the Lord. The Spirit is wholehearted when he comes to dwell in us, when he comes to abide in us, when he comes to patiently and with much long-suffering work in these feeble, sinful, stained hearts of ours. But he comes with all his heart, and that's why he stays and abides, because he's wholehearted in the business. He's completely committed to the work. And the Lord wants us to be wholehearted seekers of him, that seek him who sought us with his whole heart. He wants us to seek him with our whole heart. I mean, we ought to mirror. It's only reasonable, isn't it? You remember how Paul said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God." That's another picture of being wholehearted, all out for God, which is your reasonable service. It's a reasonable principle. It's a right principle, as well as being required and regulating. It is to be also this to be done with all the heart. A wholehearted seeker is to be done because it's right and expected of God. You see, God is seeking. God is seeking wholehearted seekers. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, "The Father seeketh such to worship him." He is seeking worshippers. He seeks those worshippers with his whole heart. And he wants those worshippers to seek him with the whole heart. Remember the Lord said, I sought for a man among them. This is an earnest seeking, a wholehearted seeking. I sought for a man among them. The Lord's seeking for a man to seek him and to call upon him. So the Lord very definitely wants his people to be wholehearted seekers of himself, just as our Lord Jesus Christ was. And especially we should think about our Savior as a seeker. You remember the parable of the Good Shepherd, how he left the 99, he went into the mountains, into the difficult place, through the wilderness, to find the sheep that was lost. I mean, that shepherd, whatever else he had a whole heart for that lost sheep. You remember how he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened until it's accomplished? And that's what the Lord is big-hearted about. I'm straitened. I'm committed to this. I'm just wanting to get it accomplished and finished, that the sheep might be found that are lost. And even though it meant a baptism of suffering, he still could say, I'm straitened until it's accomplished. He's a whole heart for the business, hasn't he? Even though there's a crown of thorns and the scourging and the whipping and the nakedness and the agony and the pain of Calvary, he wants it to be accomplished because he's in it with all his heart. And the very least he requires is that we be wholehearted seeking him. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Wholehearted, endured the cross, despised the shame, because he's wholehearted. Wholehearted. Now notice how this psalm ends. We notice the verb seek at the start of the psalm, wholehearted seeking of him. But then at the end of the psalm, in verse 176, David says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. The psalmist, after all his praying, after he has been in every room, the 22 rooms with God, and he's leaving the last room, what does he pray for? What does he ask for? What does he want more than anything else? What do we require more than anything else? You know what it is, brethren and sisters? We require a seeking Savior. Even when we're Christians. Because we go astray, we backslide, we get cold-hearted, we lose the way. Even whenever we've been in 22 rooms trying to know God, We still, at the end of the day, when we come out, we still need a seeking Savior. Seek thy servant. I want you to be a shepherd who seeks me, Lord. And that's a good prayer. We want a seeking Savior because we know we still come short. What kind of seeking shepherd have we? A wholehearted one. David knows he can ask this Lord to seek him because he's a wholehearted seeking shepherd. A devoted Savior. A true and faithful one. Big-hearted, wholehearted Redeemer. And David knows that's what he has in the Lord, the one that he can depend upon. And David reckons he ought to be a wholehearted seeker of him. That's the very least he can do for this seeking shepherd, to be wholehearted for him. So I've been trying to impress you how reasonable this is, this principle, how right it is to meet us right here at the door. Are you wholehearted for God this morning? Are you wholehearted for the Savior? Are you wholehearted for the Word? Are you wholehearted for the house of God? Are you wholehearted for the things of God? Are you wholehearted for the ordinances of God? Or have you wandered from Him and are far from Him today? Have you left your first love? Be honest. Have you left your first love? Then you need to pray, Lord, seek me out. Find me again, Lord, with your big heart. And then revive my heart and refresh my heart and unite my heart to fear thee. And give me a heart, Lord, enlarged to run after you. Give me a whole heart for thee. Pray. Let's ask the Lord for it. Lord, give me a heart for thee. It's what the Lord requires and desires. So the Lord bless you and help you.